So Abel has been, for those of you who don't know him, I'll give you some idea. He's married to Dolly. His wife's name is Dolly. They've been in ministry. This is their 41st year of ministry. They started ministry before I was born, right? So it's quite a long time, eh? So they have 4 children and 5 grandchildren. Apostle Abel is now leading an initiative called Pray Durban. He used to be a pastor over a church, which his son now leads, Eagles Community in Phoenix. And we are honored and privileged to have him this morning. And I know he's a man of prayer, a man of wisdom, and a great resource to the body of Christ. More than anything else, we honor and receive him as a father of faith. He has an immense, he's a father figure to many people. And so he's fathering grace this morning. You are honored, we are honored to have that this morning. And so I want to ask you to stand and receive a man of God, a father in the faith, somebody who is esteemed in the body of Christ, but has more than all of that, has the approval of the heavens. And so, with all of that, let's give thanks to him. I don't know what he's going to share on, but whatever it is, it'll be good for all of us and bring glory to the kingdom, and Christ should be exalted. So let's give thanks to God now. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Glad to have you, Pastor.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Well, good morning, family. Such a delight, such an awesome pleasure to be with friends and family. I think I go a long way back. I remember when he used to come and visit his uncle in Road 901 Chatsworth. And I think you must have been 15 or 16 at the time. So, yeah, it's good to be here. And I know that nothing in the kingdom happens by chance or by accident. And so, I was supposed to be here over 2 months ago. And I was busy attending, I was going to attend a prayer conference in Mull Desert Rift. And I only lasted one session. I got very sick, and I was hospitalized for the whole weekend. And my PSA level, for those of you who know what PSA is, especially the men, you should know what PSA is. Are the men going to say amen or something? By the way, a lot of men don't know what a PSA is. And it's just to do with the condition of the prostate gland. And the range normally is 0 to 4. And I had such a severe infection that my reading was 60. So that meant that I could have an advanced stage of prostate cancer. So I was in the hospital for the weekend and did all the tests, and my bloods weren't doing good. In fact, the following day, the urologist told me I should have been in ICU. But I spent the weekend and most of the time in prayer, just praying in the spirit most of the time. And I actually enjoyed my stay in hospital. I had such wonderful fellowship with Father. And early that Sunday morning, hospitalized early Saturday morning, early Sunday morning, I got up feeling fresh, feeling good. I was felt like singing, and jumping and shouting. Such an awesome presence of the Lord. The urologist came in a little later, and he did more blood tests, and he said to me, "Somebody likes you." Because everything was now reversed. I told him, I just pointed heavenward. I told him, "He loves me." And so the Lord touched me. And when I went back after a couple of weeks, did a PSA in my urologist in Durban, and it was down to 5.3 from 60. So I'm well, I'm strong. The assignment is not over. And lots of work to be done. I wanted today maybe share a devotional with you, you know, a little bit of testimony and then share a specific scripture. I've been serving the Lord for many years now. I'm going to be 67 in October. Born into a Christian home, I knew Jesus as my Savior at a very young age. I must have been about 6 or 7 years old when I knew him as my Savior. So he's been quite a journey for me. And I was around 20, 21 when I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think it was November 1971. Walked into the home of a full gospel church elder. He was a man of prayer in Mount Edgecombe, and I just had such a desire to speak in tongues and worship God in other tongues. And as I walked into his lounge, I just found myself speaking in other tongues with no one laying hands upon me. And that encounter that day was such an awesome encounter that I never stopped speaking in tongues from that time. And so it's been a wonderful journey with the Holy Spirit. He's my best friend. And I love him so much. And over the last several months, the Holy Spirit has become more meaningful to me. And then I stepped out into full-time ministry 41 years ago. In 1987, I suddenly found myself looking at all the scriptures that had to do with God as Father. Went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and especially in the Gospel of John, where Jesus refers to the Father so many times. I began to meditate on the scriptures, went to the epistles, look at what Paul had to say about the Father, especially in Ephesians. And so the revelation of God as Father came to me 30 years ago. And wherever I go, most of the time I just speak about the Father. And it's been such a wonderful journey with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, my elder brother. And so every day with him is sweeter than the day before. It's been an exciting journey. And I've just growing to love him even more every day, love the scriptures more, love the body of Christ, love his bride. And over the last couple of years, we've been involved in a ministry called Pray Durban. After having handed over my son, local church, to my son, and who's doing a good job out there at Eagles Community Fellowship, the church went to a brand new level after he took over, and that's what happens when you hand over to your sons. And so, he's not in full-time ministry yet, but he's doing a good job, and. So I've been involved in a ministry called Pray Durban. And the whole, it happened in 2016, the local government elections. It's before that, somebody had handed me a map of a Tegwini with all the wards in it. At that time, there were 103 wards in a Tegwini or Durban. Now there's 110 wards. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, If a political party wants to rule the city, then it will have to get as many wards as possible, win as many wards as possible. Of course, in Durban, we know that the ANC is basically the ruling party, and 75 of the wards belong to the ANC. And so they form the government of the city, basically. And the Lord said to me, if a political party wants to get a hold of the city, they win as many wards as possible. If the body of Christ wants to get a hold of the city, they must win as many wards as possible through prayer and spiritual warfare. So the battle is won in the heavenlies. Amen? And so that's how Pray Durban was birthed. And the Lord is taking us to the different wards of the city. And what an exciting time it is as we go and meet different people in the body of Christ. I said, let's start at Ward 1. Ward 1 in Durban. How many of you are formerly from Durban here? I'm sure there are several of you formerly from Durban. And most of the people in Durban don't know where Ward 1 is. But Ward 1 is in a place next to Cato Ridge. It's called Kwatimba. Go to Cato Ridge and you come, go down a winding mountain. It's kind of a mountain, a big hill. Go down to this valley. And there's this place called Kwatimba, Ward 1 of the city of Durban. And we go there and we meet with Christians. And over the last 2 years, we've been having fellowship with brothers and sisters in Ward 1. And they're catching the vision for prayer. And the whole idea is to get at least 168 praying Christians praying for 1 hour for their ward and for the city. And it hasn't been easy. When it comes to prayer, there's a guy called the prayer preventer. His name is Satan. But you know something, it's such an exciting venture, this, because you're meeting new people in the body all the time. And 2 months ago when I was in hospital, the Lord spoke to me and told me, give me a strategy. He said, look for a man of peace in each ward. The man of peace will be a pastor, and his church will become the house of peace in each ward. So in the last 2 months, we've managed to get at least 5 houses of peace. And so in Phoenix, there is Ward 48, which is a very big ward. If you know Phoenix, old Phoenix is actually Ward 48. And I shared this with some pastors, and Robert Munyon, he graciously allowed his church to be the house of peace for that ward. And then Ward 70 in Chatsworth, another pastor told us he wants his church to be the house of peace. Ward 87 in Amlazi, Baba Dlamini wants his church to be the house of peace. And then there's several others. And it's so exciting. I mean, different churches, some are full gospel. Ward 87 in Amlazi is an evangelical church. So my ministry takes me to the whole body of Christ. And how many of you love the body of Christ?
Yes.
The bride of Christ. The multifaceted body of Christ. And so I'm actually enjoying what I'm doing. And so the future is looking bright, because there is a movement of prayer that's arising in the earth. And we must catch that wave. Hello? We must catch that wave. There's been movements of prayer down through the centuries. You know, in 1890, there was a movement of prayers, and Andrew Murray was one of those that was involved in that movement of prayer. And of course, that culminated in the Pentecostal outpouring at Azusa Street, which permeated all parts of the earth, basically, in the years that ensued. And the problem is most of them had prayed for an outpouring, didn't really accept the outpouring. And they came against tongues and so forth. That's what really happens. And, you know, in the 1970s, some of you were serving the Lord in the 1970s, there was a wonderful movement of prayer in the 1970s and early 80s. And we used to have whole nights of meetings, whole Friday night meetings wasn't a strain. We just enjoyed whole night prayer meetings and people coming together to pray. And to me, that prayer movement resulted in the apostolic move in our nation. And Robert Munyan, who was one of the pioneers of the apostolic, we used to have those camps. Did you attend any of those camps at Skokheim? I know Thamo especially used to come to those camps, and those camps really influenced him a lot. And so there was this powerful apostolic movement that began in the late 1980s, early 1990s. It was all because of a movement of prayer that preceded it. And once again, there is a movement of prayer beginning. And this movement of prayer is going to be is actually a very powerful, awesome movement of prayer. And it's happening all over the earth. So we're heading through some very powerful times in the body of Christ. Amen? Some powerful and precious times in the body of Christ. And so, will you pray for Pray Durban? Will you remember the vision? I've given Pastor one of our little brochures. And I know that most of you, quite a few of you are from Durban. You love your city. And most people, if they had a choice between Durban and Joburg, they would say Durban. And so, things are happening. And I believe that this is going to just gain momentum. Imagine if we have a model established as prayer model in Durban, it can go to other cities in this nation and in Africa. Everybody say, why not? This wasn't everybody. Come on, everybody say, why not? Agree with me. Let's have some agreement here. Amen. Amen. And so, let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. I want to share on the priority of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 and verse number 8. I'm reading from the New King James. Paul the Apostle, writing to his son Timothy, says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So here is an apostolic father writing to his son. And he's not just an ordinary apostle. This is the apostle Paul who writes the bulk of New Testament doctrine. And Paul, in this letter to Timothy, he is basically revealing his doctrine of prayer. And he says to Timothy, Timothy, before you even talk about elders and deacons, before we even go into caring for the widows and, you know, he has a word for the rich people in the church and so forth. Timothy, first and foremost, before anything else, son, get the prayer life going. Get supplications. Get the people to make supplications, Timothy. And prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks for all men, for kings, all who are in authority. Timothy, this is my counsel to you. This is my advice as your spiritual father. I who am a wise master builder. That's the grace upon my life. I'm a wise master builder. Timothy, we're talking about laying foundations here for the churches in Ephesus. Timothy, get the men and the women, get the people of those congregations to prioritize prayer. The priority of prayer. Let them make supplications, Timothy. Let them pray with all kinds of prayers. Let them be intercessors. Let them give thanks, Timothy, for all men and for kings. Remember, who was in charge in those days? Who was the emperor? Was it Nero? I think it was Nero, who was such a cruel person. He said, get the people praying for those that are in authority. I believe that every Christian is an intercessor. Every Christian has the grace to make supplications, to pray with all kinds of prayers, for there is no special gift of intercession in the Bible. And all those chapters where the gifts and ministries are enumerated, there is no special gift of intercessor or intercession. The problem is we've been calling certain people intercessors. What have we been doing? We've been minimizing the work of the Holy Spirit. Basically insulting the work of the Holy Spirit. Because every Christian is called to pray. Because every Christian has the Spirit of Christ. Amen? And what is Christ doing? He is making intercession for us on the right hand of the Father. He is the interceding Christ. our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, is the interceding Christ. And what is the church supposed to be? An interceding church. Amen? A praying church. A supplicating church. A church that gives thanks for all men. Everybody say, all men.
All men.
We are to be praying for everybody. For all men. And then specifically for kings. The problem is, most Christians join the world in criticizing our leaders when we should be praying for those that are in authority. We should be praying for Cyril Ramaphosa every day. And we know the kind of challenges that he has with the divided ANC, with the divided NEC, with the divided cabinet. The poor guy needs our prayers. Hello? He doesn't need our criticism. He needs our prayers because we are commanded. Apostolic doctrine is that we must pray for those that are in authority. And we're supposed to be doing it all the time. First of all, Timothy. Get the guys in the church. Get everybody praying, Timothy. Praying for everyone. Praying for kings. Praying for those that are in authority. But we have relegated prayer to a few ladies. Most churches, their prayer, their intercessors are some ladies in the church. And what's been happening is that over the years, pastors have been focusing on these ladies, these few ladies, that they call them intercessors. That's your job. That's your ministry. That's your work. So what do the rest of the people do? So I want everyone here to say with me, I am an intercessor. Whether I am a father, whether I am a mother, whether I am an apostle, whether I am a deacon, I am called to pray. Amen? And foremost thing that I'm supposed to be involved in as a Christian is to pray. That's what Apostles' Doctrine teaches us. Before anything else, get the prayer going. Amen? Get the intercession going. Get the supplications growing. Let fathers pray. Church can do with praying fathers. Because a little later on in the chapter, he speaks about the men. He specifically talks about the men. I want the men to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Men lifting up holy hands without wrath, without anger and unbelief. That seems to be two basic problems with men. That's anger and unbelief. I think we need to explore that, Pastor Arnold. You're the teacher. Paul says, because in the very next verse, he speaks to the women. He says, women, well, let me summarize. He says, women, just dress nicely. Dress modestly. But specifically to men, he says, men, I want you to lift up holy hands. And I want you to pray without wrath, without doubting. Men, I want the men to pray. What's been happening over the last 30, 40 years? It's the women who have been taking the lead in prayer. The men have relegated that authority to women. And what's been happening to the women? They've come under lots of attack. Women have become prayer group leaders, and some of them become like temple women. because the men have abandoned their calling and their responsibility in the church of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the women who pray. Thank God for the women who travail and cry out. Thank God for the women who make supplications. What is the difference when men take the lead in prayer? That's why Paul says, even Timothy, even before we talk about bishops or elders and deacons, let's talk about the men praying. Because you can't have a leader who is not a praying man or a praying woman. You can't even have deacons who are not praying people. Because spirit-filled people pray. Amen. The mark of a spirit-filled man or woman is that he or she will be a person of prayer, will be given to prayer. Excuse me. So every Christian is called to be an intercessor. Apostles pray. Prophets pray. Let me say something about prophets. In fact, I believe the people that pray the most, more than others, are the prophets. Remember the first time that God used the word prophet? He used it on Abraham when he spoke to that king. Was it Abimelech? And he said to the king in the dream, he's a prophet and he will pray for you. He's a prophet and he will pray for you. So prophets basically pray more than others. And what I've discovered is that these people we call intercessors in the churches, they are actually the prophetic people in the church. While the rest are pathetic. No, it's a joke. Right? Those people that we call intercessors, they are the dreamers, they are the seers. They've been given these giftings, this grace upon their lives. They can see stuff. But because we have not acknowledged that, we have not acknowledged them as prophetic people, we haven't trained them in the word, we haven't mentored them in the prophetic, they have become pathetic. Because they don't know the scriptures. One guy prophesied, he says, I see a horse wearing sunglasses. If you don't know the scriptures, you're going to prophesy about all those things, you know. We are now in a brand new season, people. We're post-Pentecost. This is the season of tabernacles. Hello? I'm speaking to a tabernacles people here this morning. I'm speaking to a generation who know the responsibility. The primary calling is to seek the face of Almighty God. If my people, it doesn't say if my intercessors, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will do what? Heal the land. And does South Africa need healing? Our nation needs healing. While lots of them are waiting for the rapture to take place at any time, God is looking for a people that will start taking over. And we begin by making prayer a priority in the house of God. Amen? Because later on Paul says, Timothy, I'm teaching you how to behave in the house of God. The spirit of prayer releases the spirit of peace. Because he says here, when you pray, make prayer a priority. He says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Can you say that with me? Say with me that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So is it possible to have peace in our community? To have peace in our neighborhood? Is it possible? Come on. Talk to me. Is it possible? When the church, when Christians recognize the reality, the fact that they should be praying people in their neighborhoods and in their communities, in their workplaces, our prayers release the spirit of peace. Here it is. Paul the Apostle is writing. He says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Why are you one of those that says things are going to get worse and worse? The darkness is going to get darker. Jesus is coming to take us out of this mess. And Jesus is waiting for us to sort out the mess. Hello? Everybody say, Jesus is waiting for me. He's waiting upon us to manifest sonship in our communities. To take our rightful place. That's the reason why we have this vision for our city. That's why we have a vision for our city. Because Jesus loves the city. Amen. Jesus loves Benoni. Jesus loves Johannesburg. And so the sons of the kingdom, the sons of God, must start taking their rightful place and begin praying in the twos and the threes. Jesus himself said in Matthew 18, if two shall agree together, if two shall agree together, as touching any one thing, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. And a lot of Christians don't believe that. That's the reason why we don't get together and seek his face and agree together. Get somebody at your workplace that you can agree with you and spend 5 minutes of your lunchtime praying for your workplace, praying for your community then, your work community. In your neighborhood where you live, look for Christians. They don't have to belong to your church. As long as they know God is their Father. As long as Jesus is the elder brother. As long as they believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we've got so much in common with our brothers and sisters that belong to other churches. Let's not focus on what we don't have, on our disagreements. But let's focus on the things that bind us together. Amen? It's about one Father, one family. Everybody say, one Father, one family. And when we understand that, then the brother or sister who belongs to another denomination or church stays not very far from me in my neighborhood. I go to him and say to him, how about us praying once a week for 20 minutes? Let's pray for our neighborhood. Because if two shall agree, God says it shall be done. And our prayers will have an impact on our community so that we will lead a quiet and peaceable life. So can I challenge you today to start a neighborhood prayer watch where you live? I mean, not many people are going to refuse prayer. Am I right? Because drug addiction is on the increase. Alcoholism is taking its toll. Crime is on the increase. Only a very carnal Christian will say no to prayer. He must be terribly backslidden for he or she to say no to prayer. So God is calling you here at Gilgal to take the lead, because this is a governmental house. He's asking you to take the lead. Get the prayer going in your community. Get the prayer going in your family. Let the family altars light those fires again. Be a praying family. And when children see mothers and fathers focusing and prioritizing prayer, those children will grow up in the fear of the Lord. My four children all grew up, and they are now serving the Lord, and they're such gifted children. God is blessing them even in the corporate world. Because they've grown up in a family where the parents were praying parents. Prayer releases the spirit of peace. What is the answer to the problems of South Africa? Praying church is the answer to the problems of this nation. Not the ANC, not politics, not the DA, not even the ACDP. Hello? It's God's people coming together in agreement in a given geographical jurisdiction or in a given neighborhood or in a given workplace. Holy Spirit is calling us back to where we belong. He's calling us back to prayer. We may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Yes, it's possible. When we go back to the scriptures, we realize it's possible for us to have a community or a neighborhood where peace reigns, because Christians are taking their responsibility and praying. For this is good, Paul says to Timothy. It's good. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior? What is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. To help you remember it, just remember spigot. Everybody say spigot. S-P-I, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, G-O-T, spigot. Hello? Everybody say spigot. S-P-I-G-O-T. Let's get the supplications going. Let the prayers going. Let's get the intercession going. Let's give thanks, giving of thanks for all men, for kings and those that are in authority. That we might lead a quiet and peace and a peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. In other words, this is what our Father delights in. He's looking forward to the church becoming a praying church once again in the earth. Because there are cities to take, amen? Nations to take for Jesus. Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will thrust forth the laborers. It begins with praying. Begins with prayer. This is good. Come on, everybody, say, this is good and acceptable in the sight, come on, in the sight of God our Savior. And what does he desire? Who desires all men to be saved? So prayer releases for us the spirit of peace. Now prayer releases the spirit of salvation. Say with me, prayer releases the spirit of salvation. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. When the church gets its prayer life right, when we get our prayer act together, this place will become too small too soon. Hello? This place will become too small too soon. You'll have to have multiple services on a Sunday. God will add daily those who are being saved if we get our prayer life right. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Over the years, in this 40 odd years that we've been involved in ministry, we've been involved in major crusades, especially in Phoenix. Major crusades where hundreds of thousands of rands have been spent on crusades. And the man of the hour comes and preaches. Lots of people make their way to the front. And all our we pastors get so happy at the end of the crusade because we've given about 20 decision cards. And then we go and visit these homes and we discover they belong to other churches. It's hardly been effective. Do you know why it hasn't been effective? Because we are not doers of the word. We have not been subscribing to apostolic doctrine when it comes to prayer. Because Paul says this is the way to do it. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men and for kings and those that are in authority, that we might live a peaceable life. Well, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men be saved. When the church gets its prayer act together, the spirit of salvation is released. And we've been going about it the roundabout way. We've been going about it the hard way. Look at all those millions of rands just wasted. So let's get back to doctrine. Let's get back to apostolic doctrine. I know in that list in Acts 2, verse 42, is it? Where it says apostles' doctrine, then? Apostle doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the last thing there is prayer. Even in certain apostolic circles, because prayer is number 4 there, we kind of minimized the ministry of prayer. But look at what the apostle is telling us here. This is apostles' doctrine. Apostles' doctrine dictates that prayer is a priority in the house of God. So let's get back to apostles' doctrine. Amen? When it comes to prayer and intercession. So you think I've been talking some sense today? Some relevant stuff. As a prophet, I've come to release a word, and this is what I've been asked to release. Because God wants to take Gilgal East to a brand new season. And there's going to be a spirit of prayer released in this congregation. Maybe we'll come back some other time and maybe do a weekend of prayer. Some churches and men get together on a Saturday morning and pray. That's lovely. Some people are now coming into off nights of prayer on a Friday night. We've got to make prayer a priority. Amen? Get up early in the morning before you go to work. Tell your body, tomorrow morning, I want you up at 4:30 instead of 5:30. Only you know your body will listen to you. Because your body, in Greek, it's soma, and soma means slave. So everybody say, my body is my slave. Amen? Get up in the morning. It's a beautiful time to pray. Some people say, I like to pray in the night, but by the time you come back from work, you finish. You just want to sleep. Early in the morning is a beautiful time to pray. In the evening, get together with your family, break bread, pray for your community, get that neighborhood prayer watch going in your neighborhood. I challenge every one of you to get that prayer. You don't have to have a whole lot of people. Start with two people in your neighborhood. Amen? Neighbors in the hood praying. Agreeing together for the drug den to stop this nonsense. For the Shibin to stop functioning. If two shall agree, as touching any one thing, it shall be done by our Father. I want to pray for you. Will you stand with me this morning? Wonderful Father. Wonderful Father. Abba, we love you. We bless you. We worship you. We honor you. Yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. We've listened to the admonition of the Apostle Paul, who writes the bulk of New Testament doctrine. And here he is focusing on prayer as he writes to his spiritual son, Timothy. And today, we've read the scriptures. And I've tried my best to explain, help your people understand the priority of prayer. Bring every father, every mother, every son, every daughter in the house. Bring them to you, Father. And in the name of Jesus, through the word of God, I declare a spirit of prayer be released over this congregation. Spirit of supplication be released. A spirit of intercession be released in this house. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to focus on the men right now. All the men. The men, will you make your way quickly to the front? Just the men of the church. I want to pray a special prayer over the men because Paul says, I want the men praying everywhere. I want the men of the church to take the lead when it comes to prayer. I want the men to take the lead in your homes when it comes to prayer. Take the lead. Wow, Pastor Ronald, you're doing well here. You've got a good proportion of men and women. In fact, I think there's more men than women here. Oh, very few churches you get then, brother. Okay. And men, raise those both hands to the Father. Without wrath, without anger, and without unbelief. I am assuming that Paul is saying that the two main problems among men is anger and unbelief. Anger and unbelief. Maybe that's your problem. Maybe your problem is anger. Or maybe your problem is unbelief. Maybe your problem is anger and unbelief. So I ask you to raise those hands. I want the men praying everywhere, which includes your workplace. I want the men praying everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and unbelief and doubting. And the rest of you, will you stretch your hands towards these men of God? Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, our precious elder brother, I thank you today for these precious men of God at Gilgal East. Thank you that they've heard me well as I explain to them the priority. Help them to understand the priority of prayer. I bring every one of these men of God to you. Each one of them is very special to you. And because the apostle said, I want the men praying, it means that men have a very special grace of prayer on their lives. A grace that even the women don't have, the men have. As we raise our hands to you, we ask you to forgive us for our unbelief. Forgive us for anger. Holy Father, as we lift our hands, we make a commitment. Join me, guys. We make a commitment. Say, Father, we make a commitment to be men of prayer and to take the lead in prayer in our home, our community, and our city. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So I bless you, men. As a prophet of God, I bless you. I bless you, and I declare that a new season awaits you as you begin prioritizing prayer. I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Pastor David.